Thank you, Jesus, for Jacob Miller. Wow. Thanks, Jake. I don't know what I'd do without you. They don't know what they would do without you. If you didn't get one of these pink sheets, and you can hear me now, raise your hand, please. You need one of these. It's really important. If you're a lady, that is. If you're a man, well, sorry. In the back. Terry Grayshaw. I'm kidding, Terry. Pointing out somebody. Anybody else? You all need these sheets. So most everybody got them, Heather. She wants you to know that that child care will be provided if there is a need. So be excited and be a part of this. It's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure. So you all having a good morning so far? Yeah, we're doing all right? Good. Well, let's pray together and we'll get started here today, okay? Father, I want to thank you for this day. It's a beautiful, sunny day in southern Ohio. Thanks for all the blessings that you shower on us every day. Lord, sunshine or rain, whatever comes, we know you're good and you're always looking out for us. Father, I thank you for your love in our lives. Thank you for your hand at work in us. Thank you for your power that you exert in us and through us, and that you would like to do more. And Father, I pray that you would move us to a place where you could. Thank you for just all of the wonderful worship. Thanks for hearts that want to know you better and want to sing to you because you deserve it. Thanks for all the good things that are part of our lives because of you. Father, I want to thank you for being home. It's good to be home. Good to be back in fellowship with my brothers and sisters here at Sunshine. And as we go through this time in your word, I pray, Lord, that you would bring life and encouragement through this. Father, I pray that you would wake us up and encourage us and just use this time to move us near to you. We love you, Father. I pray you move me out of the way and that you would do your thing, your encouragement now. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I appreciate Aaron and what he said about our veterans. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful sacrifice that so many made for all of us to have what we have. And when I was coming home from Honduras, there are some thoughts that were running through my mind about this Sunday, but when I was in flight home, I wrote down some things. I just wanted to share with you this morning, and we'll just start our sermon with that. We're in flight, and I'm thinking, reflecting, and these are thoughts that came to my mind. When I'm in Honduras, I'm still a citizen of the United States. That's pretty cool. Right? If you've ever been out of this country to another country, raise your hand. We get there, right? We understand it's important. It's really important to be a citizen of the United States in this world today. My nationality doesn't change because I'm out of the country. I'm not disowned. I am an alien in a foreign land, but I'm a citizen of the United States of America. There are certain things that result from that. I'm not Honduran, so I don't act Honduran. I don't buy property or build a home in Honduras. I am only there for a while to help, so I remember that, and I don't get too comfortable. I remember always that I am part of a free country. A free country. The whole world knows this, and they can tell by the way I act and carry myself that I'm American. Not arrogantly, but freely, right? We're free. That's a big deal. It's huge. I'm in Honduras, but not of Honduras. I'm only visiting. The place is dirty, and it takes several days to get some of the dirt off, I'm telling you. Now, the food is far less nourishment than I need to live well. The housing is inadequate. The smell is awful. And the people may hurt you and steal from you. But it's not my home. I'm just visiting. My home is in the United States. I'm a citizen there. And no matter how hot or dirty or hungry I get, I know it really won't be there for very long. No matter how bad the food is, how bad the smell, or how hard the work, in a few days, I'll be on a plane. And I'm going back home. Home where there's great food and where people love me. My wife and daughter, my friends and family. have a comfortable bed and a hot, clean shower. It's home. And because of home, I work harder to represent well. I keep the best attitude I can because I'm giving hope and an impression of where I come from. And I'm proud to say I'm American and invite friends to come visit, and we do. I work hard and I don't quit. I'm there as a representative, and that's what I plan to do. I plan to be a representative. I can say that for all the guys and Andrea who were on our trip this past week. They intentionally served well. They knew they were representatives of our country. They knew that people look at Americans, all of America, by the way they look at us. They know that we are a small example, but we are a clear example of what our country is all about. And everybody intended to work well and work hard. But there's a greater nation that we're a part of. There's a greater brotherhood, fellowship, sisterhood, a greater nation that we're a part of, that we are citizens of, far greater than the United States, far safer than the United States, far more powerful than the United States. We're citizens of heaven. We're members of God's kingdom if you are a child of God today. And I got to tell you, if you remember at all what it was like when you were not a citizen of God's kingdom, if you remember at all what it was like, you should be thrilled to be a member, a citizen. If you could just check out for a couple of days and live on the outside and remain a citizen, you would be so thankful. And guess what? We have that opportunity every day, don't we? We fall asleep to this. It's just like I fall asleep to the comforts of home. It doesn't take long when you're in Honduras that the smell, when you're in Haiti or any other third world country, that the smell and the food and the constant battle for life that they have leaves you just a little bit off. And there's this longing in you, as much as you want to be there to help, and as badly as you want to make a difference, you're thankful for every day you're there, and you watch the clock so that you don't miss your flight back home. Home where there's a clean shower. Home where people love you. Home where you don't always have to watch your back. And that's us in God, right? Listen to Scripture here today. Paul says in Philippians 3, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." As I think about Memorial Day, as I think about the wonderful veterans, as Aaron had said just earlier during the communion service, and those who died for our freedom, those who died so that we wouldn't have to deal with the things that we want to go help other folks overcome in other countries, I have to reflect on God. I don't want to have to. It's not possible to deal with what I would be dealing with had Jesus not died on the cross. When I think about freedom physically, when I think about freedom as a country, though it's really nice, there's no comparison to freedom from sin. Understand that well. There's no comparison. Me being free to walk about my country, me being free to live, that's incredible. To have all the blessings that I have of being a member, of a citizen of the United States, but not even comparable to the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Not just forgiveness of our sins, but the freedom from sin, the freedom from death and all of its destruction, and the promise and the hope of eternal life, right? That's incredible. So Scripture tells us, it's not just saying that, you know, you have this chance, this thought, guess what? You could be a citizen of heaven. Scripture's saying if you are a child of God today, you are a citizen. Your citizenship is in heaven. It's like us in Honduras or the group in Haiti. you're only visiting for a while. You're not really here permanently. This place just doesn't work right, right? It doesn't fit well. I know I got a lot better thing going than this thing I'm wearing around, for sure. It looks a lot better. It smells a lot better. It acts a lot nicer. It's better than this. And we're cramped and we're pressed in this mess. And things don't work right here. The world, the folks of the world, the problems with the world, it's trying to drag us and pull us down, trying to distract us from what the real call is. And we are the ones who, what will we say here? While I'm on earth, I'm still a citizen of heaven. My nationality doesn't change. I'm not disowned. I'm an alien in a foreign land, right? But I'm still a citizen of heaven. There's certain things that result from that. I'm not of earth, and I don't act like it. I don't buy property here and build a home. I'm only here for a little while. And yes, we build houses, but you get the point. We're not settling in here. This is short term. These things are just tents. They're temporary that we're living in. And God is telling us, your citizenship is somewhere else. Watch the flight time, baby. Don't lose track of what time it is, because it's ticking. And you don't want to miss it. But what time is it for you? In Honduras, I found chocolate. I found a candy bar. Amber found this little shop across town that actually had a few cans of Mountain Dew. That's pretty cool. They have a couple of restaurants that imitate, they have the name. There's a in the rich part of town that's really a little distance away. They have a McDonald's and a couple of restaurants that you can get there if you can go hard enough in your mind. The drinks are awful. The ice is terrible. It gives everything an awful flavor. But I can get there in my mind. And so I find myself in Honduras being a little comfortable. Hey, I have a Hershey bar. Got a Mountain Dew. We ate at the McDonald's today. And that's a thrill. How many of you are sick of eating at McDonald's? Yeah, well, McDonald's is thrilling in Honduras. And so I find myself going, this isn't so bad. And then we go feed the homeless. We go serve in the special needs orphanage. And you go to the dump. And you're reminded, I got to watch my clock. I want to help these folks, but man, my flight's getting out of here. I am not of this place. I'm only here for a while. I don't want this for my life. I don't want this for them, but I don't want it for me. I got life. I got love. I got hope. I've got peace. I've got freedom waiting for me. It's just a plane flight away. And Christians are citizens of heaven. And you got to watch for the flight, because you don't want to miss it. You don't want to be distracted. You don't want to get comfortable. And man, we are so comfortable. I can't wait till I can buy that car. I can't wait till we can build that house. I can't wait till I can deal with my retirement. I can't wait till we can travel. I can't wait till our kids grow up. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. Lord, don't come too soon, because, man, I really got a lot of good things going on here. This place isn't so bad after all. You made it. Can't be that bad. And all the while, our hearts are being pulled. Our allegiance is being tugged away, for our true citizenship lies. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves doing what so many people do in real life, and not that that's not real life, but you know my point. We find ourselves trying to figure out a way to have dual citizenship. We want heaven, but we want the world. We want heaven, but we want to stick around. We want heaven, but we don't want to go right now. And some of this stuff doesn't look so bad after all. And God says, you can't have both. It's not going to work like that. And so he goes on through Scripture. And I've got some lengthy reading here, but it's good reading, so stay with me, okay? He's talking here about freedom. He's talking about how we gain this citizenship. He's talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. So this is really important stuff. It's in Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's talking to us. We were those people. Don't comfort yourself too much thinking Jesus died for somebody else and you've been a good person. He's talking about us when he says this. We were dead in our transgressions and sins in which we used to live when we followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised... Listen to this. This is really important. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Again, verse 6, you want to hang on to this. We're going back to it. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. That's you. Fellow citizens, you're no longer foreigners. Why? Because verse 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Your identity is not earthly. You're not really United States of America. You're heavenly. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a child of God. If God has indeed raised you up, right? If God has raised you up and seated you with Christ Jesus, you are his child. And you don't belong here. You don't belong here. This place wasn't made for you, only temporarily. And so Jesus calls us, God calls us through Paul and encourages us in other places. Listen to this one. Since then you have been raised with Christ. And here we go again with the raising. If he raised you and seated you in the heavenly realms, and here we are again. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Isn't that powerful? That's amazing. You're citizens of heaven if you've been raised with Christ. If God has done this raising, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him. And Christ, who is your life, you're not of this place. This place is smelly and stinky. It doesn't nourish you well. It'll kill you if you give it a chance. It'll leave you washed up and hopeless. But God says, you don't belong here. I didn't make this place for you permanently. I made you to be mine. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen of a better place. But about this raising thing, what does he mean by the raising? If he raised us up, if he has been the one that raised you, you heard in back, we've got to go back. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It's so easy just to flippantly say, raised us up. I've been raised by Jesus. Since then you've been raised with Christ. He's making a point, isn't he? He's making a point. Surely he's making a point. I become a citizen of the United States. You can in a lot of ways, not a lot of ways, but a few ways. But I'm one because I was born here. I was born in the United States, and I didn't want to go anywhere else to be a citizen. And so here I am. My mom and dad were citizens, and I'm a citizen of the United States. But we weren't born citizens of heaven. Scripture talks about objects of wrath, without hope, without God. You were not. You were far away. You were Gentiles. You've been brought near. What's with the raising? How do we become citizens? What's the deal? The only thing I know is to go to Scripture. I don't want to manufacture this thing because I think it's too important. Amen? Amen? This is a big deal. And so with the raising, let's find out what he says. In Romans 6, and I want you to hear this really well, because this is really important. God's word, God breathed, he said it, his spirit inspired it, and godly men wrote it down. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. The raising, the resurrecting, the coming around. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. That's a mouthful. That's a lot of powerful scripture. Listen to this again. What shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? And he's making this point. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism and into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. There's a raising for us. And Paul talks about it, and he goes on and presses the thought as he says, if you've been raised with Christ, if you've been raised with him, you're a citizen of heaven. There's a raising that takes place in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realms, and it's an amazing, it's an incredible godly thing. It's only from him. You don't manufacture it. We don't make it up. God raises us to life. But what does this look like then? If we are citizens of heaven, if I'm a child of God, a citizen of heaven, then what should that look like? Because we mentioned earlier that when we're in Honduras, we're in another country, it's pretty obvious, right? We stand out, right, Tyler? I mean, it's odd. I think Tyler's an albino. That's really funny. Light skin, light eyes, you know. Child of the sun. Sorry, Tyler. sounds much more holy. But they notice there's a difference. They don't look at you much. We're different. We stand out, and it's not just because they're short and we're tall. But we walk differently. We act differently. We live free. We live wealthy. We look fed. There's so many things that to point out that we're children of the United States. We are folks who we're citizens of another place. And so if we're citizens of the United States, there's certain things we do and we don't do. When you come in back into the country, this is really important. You come back into the country, you got to fill out this piece of paper, and they want to know what you've done while you were there. You touched any animals? You been around anything that you could bring disease back in the country? Have you done this or done that or done this or done that? And they want to know, because there's problems if you have violated what the country does or stands against you doing while you're outside the country. They want you bringing things in that are bad, unhealthy. There's a problem with it. And as citizens of heaven, God points out some of these things to us as well. Listen to the scripture in 1 John. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And in a nutshell here, he talks about a lot of things. He talks about the life that you are not called to live. He talks about the life that is contrary to the Spirit of God, the life that does not fulfill the duty of a citizen of heaven, not living faithfully as a citizen, as a child of God. And he says, that's not your role. That's not your call. Then what is? Then what is? If we understand that there are things that cannot be a part of my life, what is my life as a citizen of heaven? What am I to be living out when I'm here on the earth? I'm here for a reason, right? Surely I'm here for a reason. We go to Honduras, we're going to build houses, and we're going to try to help. We're going to try to make an impact. We're going to try to feed and tell them of the great things of heaven. And there is the call of the citizen of heaven. As he says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And this is probably at its core the essence of the message to Honduras, and even more so the message that the Christian would take to everyone in the world. And here's the truth of the matter. I don't know how else to say this. If we all would go to a third world country and serve for a week, we would get this passage a whole lot better. Because when you're sitting in Honduras, you're looking at people who you know will never in their life experience the United States kind of freedom, kind of food, kind of health, life. They'll never get it. And you look in your eyes and you think, if only you can be comforted long enough for you to learn the message of God before you die. Male life expectancy, 46 years. You don't say, I'm building this house so that one day technology will get you to another house and another house, and eventually you'll have electricity everywhere. You'll have the internet. You'll have iPods. You'll have everything. No, you think, you live in a dump? Let me tell you about the one who'll spread a banquet before you when you get to heaven. Because that's the best meal you're ever going to have. And it may very well be their next meal if they come to know God, because they're not going to make it long. And that is the call of the citizen of heaven. The call of the citizen of heaven is not to get caught up in all of this like I get caught up in all the time. The call is to remind me, to remind others, that Jesus came and it was good news. And that you wouldn't have to fall for this stuff, and you wouldn't have to be deceived into addiction and deceived into just being so lazy and selfish, the life was taken away and whisked away from you without doing anything good, but that you could remind souls who are dying that there's a banquet one day. And it's going to be spread out before you, and you're going to love it. The citizen of heaven is supposed to be the one declaring the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And as a soul is starving in Honduras and Haiti, begging for another piece of bread, all around you in the United States are souls begging for life bread. Real stuff. Something that matters. Some kind of hope that there's anything better than what we have, because though we may be really rich, we're no better. We're not a bit better than the folks who are starving to death in these other countries. The ones who have dirt floors and everything else, because we are so lost. We're so lost as a nation. We're so lost as a people. We've got all the stuff. The people you work with every day are lonely for Jesus. And they're begging for the story. They're begging just for the truth. And as much as a person in another country, you look at them and they're full of stitches and you think, man, they're going to stick a knife in my back if I don't get turned around and get someone to protect me. But you have the guts and the courage in God to just keep serving. How difficult is it to have the guts in God, the strength in Him, to tell somebody, your neighbor, your friend, hey, I got to tell you something, man. This life that's going on here, okay, maybe it's not going to get any better. I know that God can. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I'll tell you this. Heaven's going to be better than this, and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss this. That is the role of the citizen of heaven, to tell the story, to brag on his nation, to brag on his country, to brag on his king, that others would want to come. It's hard, man. It's hard to be in Honduras and not be grinning all the time. Like, what's the United States like? You don't even want to know. You don't want to know. I don't know what to say. As Olvin, a little minister, preacher training guy, is in the school at Baxter, and he's always asking questions about the United States. Maybe I come sometime. Maybe you come down. When I'm minister, you help me build houses. It's a funny guy. Teach me more English. He comes into the shower when I'm taking a shower. Jamie, what's the word for peeking? I say, no peeking. And he said, no peeking. And he goes, it's just funny. Great guy. I didn't want to tell him about the United States. You're never going to be here. He'd be so unhappy with what he has. But it can't be like that in the message of heaven, because everybody's life can be different. No matter who they are, the story is better. The outcome is great, because God will break in anywhere and change the life. Amen, right? I mean, that's what He would do. And what He will do, and not only the life, but eternally, He will make an eternal difference. And you get to go home one day to the greatest banquet, to the greatest home, to the greatest life that you could imagine. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the simple story. As a citizen of heaven, I am an ambassador for Christ. Right? I'm an ambassador for Jesus. I just tell the story. I share the message. I do whatever He would do, however He does it. I give it my best. I pray and ask Him to lead. And so I serve, or I visit, or I tell the message of Jesus, that there is hope for a lost soul to give their life to Him, and their life can be eternally different. That's the call. You're citizens of heaven. If you're a child of God today, if He's raised you up, you're a citizen of heaven. That's your identity. That's your nationality. It's who you are. That's amazing. Be happy. But don't forget your role. If you're a citizen of heaven, you've got the best life that could ever be found. Be joyful and be about telling people about it, so they too could be a citizen of heaven. This is yours, whatever your desire. If you need to come forward and have someone pray with you, we'll have two wonderful elders on either side of the auditorium up here for encouragement, for prayer, or anything that you need. If you've not been raised up, today would be a great day. If you've not died with him through baptism, one of these men would love to assist you in that as well. So whatever you desire, why don't you please come.